All right, good morning, Central. How are you today? Fantastic. Happy Father's Day to all the dads that are fortunate enough to be a dad. We love you. We honor you. We appreciate you. If you're watching us online this morning, wherever that might be, happy Father's Day to you as well. If you're in the concourse, we just are so glad you're here this morning. And I get that Father's Day can kind of be a mixed bag of emotions. It can be a sad day depending on your circumstances. There's a lot of things that can steal our joy on Father's Day. Maybe you lost your father. Maybe as a father, you lost a child. Maybe divorce kind of messed that up a little bit or whatever it is. But for those of you that are fathers today, we just want you to have a special day today. We value you and we appreciate you. If you have a Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to take a little pause from our series in the Gospel of Mark. On Father's Day, I want to address husbands. Now, before everybody checks out except those that are husbands right now, let me just say this. If you are a man and you have a desire to be married one day, then this sermon is definitely for you. You're going to get some insights as to what you're supposed to become. If you are currently married, as a man that's married, then this is going to be directed almost exclusively at you this morning. If you are a single lady this morning with hopes of getting married, this message is definitely for you, because I'm going to tell you this morning what you're going to look for, what you're not going to settle for, anything less than what God has for you. And if you are a married lady today, this is an important message for you, because you're going to get prayer points. You're going to get some things to pray, but you can actually pray scripture over your husband as you hear about. If you're a grandparent today, this message is for you, because you have sons and grandsons that someday could be husbands, and you may want to just fill them in a little bit about what God's word says about being a husband. The title of my message this morning is A Biblical Job Description for a Husband. A Biblical Job Description for a Husband. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we're grateful that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are perfect, and Lord, that you teach us as fathers how to treat our children. And we thank you, Lord, for husbands that are here today, and pray your encouragement toward them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have you ever been given a job to do, but not a lot of explanation as to how to do it? Like, if you're gonna do a job right, you need a clear job description. You need someone to tell you exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Someone was asked to stamp an expiration date on a product. I don't think they got the job description. Take a look. I'm not sure they really did that as they were supposed to. Someone was asked to build a drain that actually drained water. I'm not sure that they actually got the right job description for that. Somebody was asked to build, what are they called? Don't go there yet. I'll get it and say, when you get older, there we go. Balconies. To build balconies on apartments where you could actually access the balcony. I don't know that they got that job description right. When I was in middle school, our neighbor came over and asked if I would be interested in babysitting their one-year-old son. And I wanted to make some money, so I said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So she called me over, and she kind of hurriedly walked me through these instructions as to what to do. You know, if he pees or poops, then you here's how you change a diaper. I'd never changed a diaper before. And cloth diapers, washcloths, none of the modern conveniences today. So take that off. Pins, you got to put the pins on and everything. And she said, when you take the diaper off and clean them, then you powder them, and then you put the diaper back on, and it's all good. So he wet, and so I tried to remember the instructions she gave me. Took the diaper off, washcloth, wet it, wiped him off, and then there was no powder in the rack there in the nursery. So I just went into the kitchen, into the cupboard, and I found some flour, because that's essentially equivalent to. But I didn't remember that flour and water makes paste. So the next time that diaper came off, his little booty was glued shut, was kind of glued together. But you need instructions. You need a job description to figure out exactly what you're supposed to be doing. What about a husband? If you've never been a husband, how do you know what to do? You need a clear job description if you're going to be the husband that God wants you to be. And Ephesians chapter 5 gives husbands a pretty good start on a job description for what your life is supposed to be like. So we're going to begin reading Ephesians 5. Verse 20:22. It says this: for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her, his bride, to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. That text tells us that Christ is the head of the church. And in the same way, husbands are the head of their wives. But there's been a lot of debate about what that word head means. Exactly what does it mean that the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church? Well, it really means, that word head means source or origin. But the most common usage or definition of that term is leader. So as Christ is the leader of his bride, the church, so husbands, you are the leader of your bride. And the key to all of that is that we are to lead our wives in the same way that Jesus leads his bride. So we're going to talk a few minutes about the job description for a husband, the biblical job description. And the first thing I would say is this: husbands are to be first responders. Husbands are to be first responders. Let's go back to the text. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior, say savior. He's the savior of his body, the church. Now, a first responder is the first person at the scene of a crisis. He gets there first before everybody else. A first responder initiates healing to anyone that's been injured in that crisis or accident. The first responder doesn't wait for other people to show up. The first responder recognizes, this is my job. My job is to be first on the scene and to initiate healing. First responders also recognize that this is their responsibility. It's their responsibility to get there and to care for everyone at the scene to make sure that they're okay. So the scripture says that Christ is the savior of the church. The word savior there means rescuer, healer, deliverer. So Jesus initiates healing with his bride. Jesus saw the sinful, broken condition of humanity, and Jesus initiated contact. Jesus stepped out of heaven into a broken world, into a crime scene, into a mess, and he initiated healing for humanity. Jesus also took responsibility, just like a first responder who takes responsibility. Jesus took responsibility for our condition. He took such responsibility, he took that so personal that he went to a cross and died. I mean, you can't take more responsibility than giving your very life for the people in that situation. So Jesus initiated healing, stepped out of heaven. He was the first responder. He didn't wait for anybody else to do it. Jesus took responsibility for the problem. And so husbands, that's our example. So we as husbands are to initiate healing in our marriages and in our families. We're not to wait for our wife to do it. When there's a little crisis or a little tiff, we don't go into the bedroom, sit in our chair and pout. We don't just ignore it. We don't just think it'll go away. We actually, like Jesus, step into the situation to initiate healing. That's our responsibility, not expecting the wife to do it. The second thing is it's our responsibility, like a first responder who takes responsibility for everything that's happening at the scene. It's our responsibility to take responsibility for whatever problem is going on. Now, do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Do you remember who sinned first? Eve did. Now, where was Adam when Eve sinned? Like, I think in our minds we think, oh, he was somewhere else in the garden. Like he was out doing some chopping wood or doing something else. And then she came and brought the fruit to him that he ate, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he was right there with her. Did you know that? He was standing right next to her. He saw her do it. And then she just said, hey, this is really good. You want some? He said, sure, yeah, let me have a little bit of that. So when God held somebody responsible for the sin in the garden, he didn't hold Eve responsible. He held Adam responsible. Even though she sinned first, Why? Because Adam's the leader. See, as leaders, we are always responsible for the team. We're always responsible for our staff. As a lead pastor, I'm responsible for what's going on in the church. It falls on me. If you're a business leader, it falls on you. You have responsibility by nature of the fact that you are a leader. And husbands, you are the leader of your wife, which means that you have the responsibility to initiate healing, that you have the responsibility, take responsibility for that. Don't wait for her to do that. Because if there's problems, guess who God's going to call? He's going to call you. You're the leader. That's part of what comes with leadership in the church. You know what else a first responder is? A first responder fixes things. He's a fixer. So he steps into the scene and he assesses the damage. He assesses what's going on. Sometimes he has to use the jaws of life, right, to get somebody out of a vehicle if they're trapped. Sometimes they have to do CPR if the person needs it. Sometimes they have to stop the bleeding. Sometimes if there's a fallen electrical line, the first responder has to move people to safety if they can and make sure no one gets electrocuted. There's all kinds of things that a first responder fixes. Now, having said that, ladies, I know that you don't like your man to try to fix you, right? You don't want him to fix you. You just want him to, like, listen, right? All right, well, we're fixers. I'm sorry. That's kind of who we are. So we're going to watch a video now that you've probably seen before, but I want to look at this from a little different angle. Take a look.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. If you would just...
Don't!
All right, let me just talk to each of you, men and women. Let me talk to the men for a second now. Now, guys, you need to appreciate the emotion of your wife, the fact that she processes things primarily emotionally, maybe not logically. You need to value that. And ladies, what? Did I say something wrong? Okay. There may not be logic in the emotion. We understand that, right? So, and where am I? I have no idea where I am right now. And ladies, you need to appreciate the non-emotional approach your man is making to solve the problem, all right? You need to recognize that. Now, let me jump back to the guys for a second. Now, guys, the best fixers are the best listeners. So listen first and then fix later, okay? Ladies, I know you don't like it, like the lady in the video. You don't like it when we try to fix you, but here's the reality. We are fixers. There will come a moment when we address the nail, okay? There's just going to come a time when we say, no, really, you and I together have to fix the nail problem, okay? So value that in your man, that he is going to try to be a first responder. He's going to try to take responsibility. And at some point, he's going to try to help you fix this thing in your life. That's kind of who we are. The second thing that husbands are to be is husbands are to be examples. Examples. Let's look at the text. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here we have the example. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the head of our wives. Jesus is the example to us. Now, Jesus, in his leadership, he never imposes his authority. He never imposes his superiority. He never imposes his power on his church. Jesus never makes us do anything. What does he do? He leads by example. So in John chapter 20, what do we read? Jesus says, as I have loved you, as I've been an example of what love is, you need to love each other. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he says, I did this as an example to you that you would serve one another, you would wash one another's feet. Now see, that's different than leadership in the world. Leadership in the world is imposing your power, expecting people to follow because you impose your authority or your superiority on them. That's never kingdom leadership. Kingdom leadership is service driven. I'm going to lead you by being an example. I'm going to show you how you're supposed to live your life. And so the same is true in the church. The leaders in the church are not supposed to impose their position on the congregation. They're supposed to show them exactly how to live a life that pleases Christ. So Peter says this in 1 Peter 5. He says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd or lead the flock of God, the church, among you, exercising oversight or leadership, not under compulsion because you have to, but voluntarily, according to God's will. And not for sordid or selfish gain, that's not the point of leadership, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be what? Examples, not imposing your power, not requiring people to follow because you're the leader, but showing how to do it. Living a life of godliness as a church leader and saying, come follow me. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow me or imitate me as I follow Christ. That's the biblical example of leadership. Follow me as I follow Christ. So men, you are the head of your house. You are the head of your wives. You are the leader that God has given you. But what does that mean? It means you are the first responder. It means that you step into that situation and you initiate healing. It means that you take responsibility for what isn't going right in your home. Don't make your wife do that. It means that you have a responsibility to restore and help to fix things. And it also means that you don't lead heavy-handedly. It means that you lead by being an example to your wife. Now, men, we are to be examples in a number of ways. One of those is spiritually. You are to be the spiritual leader first of your wife, and then if you have children, to your children. That means that you need to be an example of how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to worship, how to share Christ with you. I mean, you are to lead by example. Now, when Charlene and I started dating in college, now part of this was I didn't have any money. Now, it's so weird. Kids today have money. I don't know where they get their money. We never had money. Raise your hand if you never had money in college. You know what I'm talking. Thank you for that. Yeah, poor. We couldn't go out to eat. We didn't have the money. But it wasn't just because of that. It was sort of just because of who I was at that season of my life. So here was our date. Charlene would come over to my apartment, and I would grab my guitar, and I would play the guitar and just worship. We would just sing worship songs, and then we'd get the Bible out, and we'd read the Bible, and we'd pray together. That was like our date. I didn't even know how to tune a guitar. And I didn't even know how to sing, really. And so it was awful. It was like, I don't even know why you married me. What a hideous kind of, you know, date. But what's the point of that is I knew that I was to lead my wife at that point, my girlfriend, and she may as well get used to who I am. I mean, she doing like, and so I'm just bringing her along. So guys, it's your responsibility to lead your wife spiritually. You don't leave it up to her to lead the family spiritually. And I'm just gonna be honest, guys, there's no excuse not to do that today. There are so many resources available to you in Central Church and outside of Central Church to teach you how to learn to study the Bible, to teach you how to worship, to teach you how to pray. There's so many resources available that it's really inexcusable that you don't teach yourself and learn how to follow Christ. Now, ladies, let me say this. If you're not married, you're a single lady. If he's not doing that now, don't assume that he's going to do it after you're married. If he is not leading you spiritually now, you're dragging him along now. You may drag him for 50 years. You don't know. So you want to find the guy that's already doing that, already leading you spiritually, because you don't know what's going to happen. He may not change. So don't settle for a guy that isn't going to be that spiritual leader in your life. So not only do we as men lead by example spiritually, but we lead in terms of just what godly character is. We're supposed to be examples to our wives of love and joy and peace and patience when we're driving with South Dakota drivers on the roads. Like, I hate that one, right? But we're supposed to show patience. We're supposed to show love. We're supposed to show them how to do all of that. So July next month, 43 years of marriage to this woman. 43 years next month. It's all on her. It's all because of her. And I still make tons of mistakes. So don't act like I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching with you this morning. So a few years ago, we were here at the church. We were in South Dakota. And we were at our house coming to an event at the church. And it was the end of winter, probably end of February, beginning of March, somewhere in there. It's about 30 degrees. One of those rainy, windy, 30-mile-an-hour winds and sleet or whatever it was. It's just sideways. It's just the rain and sleet's going sideways. And we get in her car to come to the church to a meeting, and there's no gas in the tank. I'm like, why didn't you get gas? I don't know. I just didn't have time, or I forgot. Oh, yeah, great. Okay, so we're on our way to the church. I have to stop at the gas station and get gas. So I have to get out of the car, pelted by all the sleet and hail and everything that's coming down. And I'm getting madder by the minute. Like, just put some stinking gas in your car. Like, what's the deal? So I get back in the car fuming, and then we get here to the church. And I drove over the west entrance here, and I easily could have just pulled up to the door and, you know, let her get under the carport and just get in. No, I wasn't going to do that in that moment. So I didn't park in the farthest parking spot, but it was close. It was close to maybe being the farthest spot away from the door. And I got out of the car, and I literally ran to the door. I just ran to the door. And she's carrying stuff. I guess I could have carried something, but no, not at that moment. Not at that moment. So she's just trudging her way through puddles and everything. And she gets to the door and she says, well, why didn't you wait for me? And I said, why should we both be cold, right? So one of my glowing moments as the pastor of this church, you're welcome for that leadership. Men, you're welcome for very poor leadership of how to be an example to your wife in character. And I fall short of that. But scripture says if you're the leader, if you're the head of your wife, that means you lead by example like Jesus did. So we should be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as my character reflects the character of Jesus. That's our responsibility as husbands. And the third thing that husbands are to be, we're first responders. And we are those who are examples to our wives, according to Ephesians 5. And then the third thing is we are encouragers. We are to be encouragers of our wives. Let's go back to the text. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her on the cross so that he might sanctify her, forgive her sin, having cleansed her by the washing of water with God's word, that he might present to himself, now he is the Lord, that he might present the Lord, present the church to himself as Lord in all of her glory. Think of that. So what does Jesus do with his bride? He cleanses, he washes, he sanctifies, he transforms, he empowers so that he can present the church in all of her glory. That means in the fullness of her potential, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands, we have the responsibility of encouraging our wives toward God's purpose for her life. Husbands are to encourage their wife's development. Have you ever asked the question, like, what do you think God wants you to be? In this season of life, what is God saying for you? And then how can I help you get there? How can I help you become everything that God wants you to become? Like, that's my role. I'm to encourage your growth and your development, which means you need to provide time for her by watching the kids when you can, so that she can pursue some things that are going to develop her. You need to take time away for her so she can go and invest in other things. It means providing resources, money to make it happen if necessary. If there's some resources you need to invest in her to help develop her, then we need to do that. It means providing verbal encouragement to inspire her to greatness. You need to be her coach. You need to be her cheerleader, cheering her on toward greatness in God, verbally encouraging her, providing time that she needs to grow in God, providing resources and providing verbal encouragement. So one of the things I've noticed on our staff team here at Central is we have amazing male leaders, and they're becoming pretty good husbands as I'm watching them. As I'm thinking about this message, I'm thinking about Paul Cowan, who's on the front row here, our worship leader, and Tom Rich, who's our executive pastor. And their wives had come to them a while back and said they wanted to train for a half marathon, which means with Tom having three girls, Paul having two girls, that means they need to watch girls so that they can go and run and train and get ready for that race. Rebecca ran her half marathon a couple of weeks ago. Yours is somewhere in the future here, Bree. But for these guys to step up and say, you know what? It's not just about you serving me. It's not just about you serving my purpose and my goal in life, but me serving yours. I want to help transform you. I want to help develop you. Danny Fergan, who's sitting down here with his wife, Kansas, Danny's no longer on our staff team, but was for years and years. And they have nine kids, and Kansas is pregnant with 10. Like, that's wonderful, as long as they stay at your house and don't come to my house. No, I'm just kidding. They just love kids. What an awesome character quality for Christians. They just want to fill their house with more and more kids. Kansas has been a significant leader in our women's ministry for years, in our woven ministry. And with nine kids, Danny's had to really buck up and shoulder the burden of watching the kids when Kansas is at a meeting or at a training or something like that. Or maybe she doesn't have time to cook dinner. Maybe Danny has to cook dinner for the family or take them out or whatever. I had to do that with nine kids. How do you take them out to eat? I don't understand that. We never had any money. We still don't have any money. I don't know about that. But it just thrills me when I see husbands that are saying, you know what? You have a call of God on your life. You have ministry. And I want to support that. I want to support your growth and development in that. Pastor Neil Downey, his wife Jenny, a number of years ago, really began to pursue a career. And he just was super supportive of that financially, helping her with that, doing whatever needed to be done. Pastor Nathan Pruitt, his wife Tiffany, is in PT school, becoming a physical therapist. And it's taken a lot of time, a lot of resources. And to see Nathan and Neil just support their wives in what God has called them to, like, thrills me. Because we as husbands are to be encouraging our wives toward that end. Leaders help others become great. They're just not concerned about themselves. Leaders want to serve others so they become great. That's what Jesus' model was. And so in Mark 10, Jesus said this, "Whoever wants to become the first or the greatest among you must serve all of you like a slave. In the same way, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people." What's Jesus' leadership model? Service. I want to make other people great. I came here not to serve myself or to be served, but to serve others and to help them find greatness in God. So from the moment you and I are saved, from the moment we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, do you know what begins to happen? He begins the transformation process. He begins to develop our character. He begins to develop our lives. He begins to help us become everything that he wants us to be, right? That's what Jesus does the moment you commit your life to Christ. And the moment, gentlemen, you get married, that's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to love her and serve her and help her become everything that God wants her to become. In character, if she's going to be in the professional workplace, whatever it is for your wife. And you need to ask her about that. What is it, babe, that God is calling you to? How can I help you get there? That's what Jesus does with you. And that's what we do with the women that God gives to us. It's not about making a lot of money. It's not about buying her a lot of things. It's about simply encouraging her to reach her potential. So guys, here's what I want to do this morning. On the way in, you got a bulletin, right? And you probably didn't get one because guys don't get bulletins, their wives do. So grab her bulletin for a second, if you would, and look at it. Because you probably didn't take any notes this whole time. Okay, guys, I gave you 3 points today. Number one, husbands are to be first responders. Initiate healing, take responsibility, work with your wife to fix things. Listen, before you fix. Second, I said husbands were supposed to be examples, spiritual examples, how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to honor Christ, how to be an example of godly character. The third thing I said was husbands are to encourage their wives toward God's purpose for their life. Look at those three things. Circle the one that right now you think you probably need to work on the most. If you had to pick one and say, you know what, I should probably invest in that one a little more than the other two right now. I want you to just circle. You don't have to do it right now if you don't want, because your wife's looking there. She's probably looking over your shoulder saying, which one is he going to pick? Do it later. All right, do it later. But after you do that, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to take the same bulletin, and I want you to go to her sometime this week and say, hun, would you circle the one that you think I need to work on the most? And would you give me one thing that I can do to really fulfill that? Just one thing. One area that I can improve on in this category so I can serve you better. As we close this morning, if this message had absolutely no impact on you, which week after week, that's typically what happens with people when I preach, it just doesn't have any impact. If this didn't resonate with you, it doesn't matter. If you have a need this morning, we're going to have some folks up here to pray. Don't leave here this morning. If there's a family member, a friend, you just need some prayer, you'd like somebody to take 2 minutes and pray with you, come on down this morning. Would you stand with me? Jesus, we're grateful this morning for this thing called marriage, and as hard as it is, thank you for your example. Lord, help the men today that are here that are married or listening online that are married. Help them to recognize their job description from your word. Lord, to be first responders, to be examples, and to encourage. Help us, Lord, to get better at that. Thank you for the patience of our wives. Thank you, Lord, for those young men or older men that are not married but want to be. Would you help them to become the men you want them to be, the husbands you want them to be? For the young ladies that are here this morning, Lord, that are looking forward to that day of having a man to be their husband, we pray, Lord, that you would help them not to settle, to take this job description and begin to pray for it, to begin to pray that you would provide that kind of leader, that kind of man in their life. And Lord, for those wives that are currently wives, would you help them to take these scriptures and pray it over their men, to pray that you would shape and fashion them into Christ-likeness, into husbands that care for their brides like Jesus cares for his. We love you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.